This is Anthony Hutless, and this episode is brought to you by IVMV Patreon supporter like me.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. This is our 349th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by Andy. Here we are on a Thursday night again, Andy.
Here we are again. Loving it.
Yeah, normally.
Loving that Thursday night trend.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. It gets me all geared up for the weekend. And then we record like 3 days later. It's like, what? We just did
it. We have
it.
A lot of recording to do coming up.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, typically we do these midweek episodes on Wednesdays, but the last two have been on Thursdays because of how the Cubs series have lined up the Cardinals series. Look at that. Is that like a Freudian slip there? Surprise, guys. I'm a closet Cardinals fan.
Everybody in the chat wants you to start over.
Well, I was thinking the Cubs series with the Cardinals. For some reason, I've been saying that term a lot lately. Like, I work with a Cardinals fan, and I think that we've kind of been able to use these last two series with the Cardinals as like gauges of where this team is at and everything. So I think, like, subconsciously, whenever I say series, now I just say Cardinals. But that's what
that makes sense.
I'm gonna go with that. Right, sure it does. and so it looks like next week might be a Thursday too. The Cubs play a series that I think it finishes Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. Plus, I'm out of town on Wednesday, so I think we'll be recording next Thursday too. But so today is the last off day for the 2015 Cubs regular season, and this kind of feels like it's just like the last kind of breath of fresh air. Like, it's going to be chaos from here on out, but.
Right. I hope everybody's enjoying it because, I mean, it's going to be just pedal to the metal starting tomorrow.
Right.
Into the postseason.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, like, today having an off day and just kind of like a mentally preparing myself for the next, I guess, week and a half to 6 weeks. It's such a weird time frame to be looking at. But I think today, I just kind of took the opportunity to look back at the regular season in this 2015 season and just really how fun it's been. We're going to have plenty of time when the Cubs season ends, good or bad, when it ends. I think we have this entire offseason to look back at really how fun it was. And I'm hoping that it ends on a good note so that we can really enjoy it because we don't have any like sour taste in our mouth. But it's just been so much fun this year. So much fun. And I mean, we've obviously, this is our seventh season of podcasting on the Cubs. And I think whether we did this podcast or not, I think all fans can say this is probably the most fun Cubs season of our lives.
Yeah, no matter what happens, really, I feel like I'll remember this season for the rest of my life as being super entertaining, kind of reinvigorating my Cubs fandom.
But I think that, from here on out, this also, while it was a fun day to look back, it was a day to really just mentally prepare for the next period of time, however long that might be, because it's about to get exciting. It's about to get really nerve wracking. I think we're about to experience emotions that we haven't felt since 2008. And hopefully, I'm hoping that we experience emotions that no living Cubs fan has ever felt.
Well, yeah, I never really thought of it in those terms, but but yeah, I'm looking forward to experiencing those emotions.
See,
but those long dormant emotions that we once felt back in 2008 are going to all of a sudden stir and sputter to life.
Yeah. See, Andy, let me tell you how to experience those emotions. If you extended your commute to work about 45 minutes each way, then you have all sorts of times to just sit there and think about feelings, emotions.
is that what you do every day?
Where am I at emotionally today? That's the first thing I ask myself when I get in the car and start heading down the road.
Yeah, and then you just reflect on your life.
Right.
No podcasts, no audio, no music. No. Just you and your thoughts.
Me in the open road and my thoughts. Yep. But I'm ready for this next period of time. Like I'm pumped. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, we have like 10 games straight here. I think they were going to have the Monday where they are now playing the Royals off, but now it's just straight up games until the postseason.
Yeah, yep. It's going to be fun. So the Cubs have technically not clinched a playoff spot yet. I assume that anybody listening is aware of that. As of the recording of this podcast, the magic number is 2, meaning that in the next 10 days, there needs to be a combination of Cubs wins and Giants losses that totals 2. And then as far as home field advantage in the wild card game goes, the Cubs are, what are they now, 3.5? Is that right? I believe they're 3.5 because the Pirates won today. Correct?
Yeah, they are currently 3.5 back.
Right. So 3.5 behind the Pirates, and which means that if, you know, the Pirates are going to be at Wrigley this weekend, and if the Cubs sweep, they will still be a half a game out. But so at this point, let me ask you, Andy, there's the same distance between the Cardinals and the Pirates as there is the Pirates and the Cubs. Which do you think is more likely, the Cubs to overtake the Pirates or the Pirates to overtake the Cardinals?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Pirates have won 6 straight games. So they're playing great baseball.
Yeah, but they've also been playing the Rockies.
Okay, well, geez, yeah, I guess so. And then they have the Cubs coming up on the schedule, so it's looked their schedule's looking a little rocky coming up, if you know what I'm saying. No? Okay.
Nice try.
All right, well, thanks.
Yeah, I think that it's more likely that the Cubs overtake the Pirates. And one of the reasons, and I'll get into this later, the Pirates don't play the National League Central very well, and they really haven't played the Cubs very well. And so I'm still just not sold. I think that this Pirates team can be dangerous, but they don't scare me as much as a lot of other teams that are kind of in the playoff mix right now.
Now, do you think that's because we're kind of coming fresh off of a series win against the Pirates that you feel that way, or have you felt that way all along?
Well, I just think mainly I look at their pitching. You know, I think teams that I wouldn't want to face in the playoffs just because of pitching would be like the Dodgers, and I think the Mets have dangerous pitching too. I don't think the Pirates have great pitching. So I think that's one of the reasons.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think Jake Arrieta matches up really well against anyone.
Yeah.
Top 2 in the Cubs rotation match up pretty well against anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I agree with you. Like the Pirates pitching, I mean, we've seen the Cubs touch them up. We've seen the Cubs touch up the Cardinals pitching. Yeah, so it's hard to feel like that's an undefeatable, like an invincible foe or something like that. It's by no means. I mean, they seem very beatable.
Well, and I think especially if the Cubs were playing both teams in series and they didn't have to play the Pirates in one game, I would feel even significantly more confident in it. But the Pirates will be at Wrigley this weekend, and all 3 hosts of this podcast will also be at Saturday's game. And we are doing a meetup with listeners after the game. We'll be meeting at Guthrie's on Addison after the game. Heather is a listener of the podcast and a new Patreon supporter. And we were able to meet her when we went up for the bus trip. And she wanted me to let people know that she will be at Guthrie's early to kind of stake out a spot. And another thing is, if you've recently ordered a shirt or you haven't received your Patreon perks yet and you'll be meeting up with us, then let me know and I'll bring your stuff so I can just give it to you there. So we'll go there to Guthrie's right after the game and hang out for a while. I've had quite a few people tell me that they're going to be there at Guthrie's, so I'm really just looking forward to that entire day. I think it's going to be a blast. Weather looks like it's going to be nice. You know Wrigley's going to be, like, super. Honestly, this will probably be the most, electric that Wrigley I personally will have ever seen Wrigley.
Yeah, and I can't wait for it because we've seen so many fairly meaningless games. We've seen games where the Cubs are kind of playing out the string on a season. And so, yeah, this is going to be incredible. Like, I kind of almost don't even know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, I was there on Monday. So we can talk about this Brewer series. I got to go up on for Monday's game, and it was social media night. It was cool to hang out with a lot of people that I interact with on Twitter, Cubs Twitter, and I got to meet Tori, spend a lot of time with Tori. He listens to the podcast, hung out with him for quite a while. I would not say it wasn't a sellout. I think I was expecting like a playoff buzz there, but they were playing the Brewers, and it was a game that, you know, I think it was kind of hard to get super excited about. But I think the fact that it's the Pirates coming in this weekend, I think that will make it really exciting. And I think there will be a playoff buzz in that building because these are two teams that most likely will face off in the playoffs.
Yeah. And so that's got to make a difference. I mean, it's, you know, the weekend playoff foe. I mean, I fully expect it to be a pretty electric atmosphere.
Right. Well, and what's weird is, I mean, we live 3 hours from Wrigley or whatever. And, I was in a school this week and there, I heard like multiple people saying like, I really want to go up to Saturday's game. I need to try to get tickets for Saturday's game. And it's like, man, I cannot remember the last time that like just in casual conversation around our area, I heard people like trying to get regular season tickets and everybody saying like, oh, are you going up this weekend? Oh, you know, I mean, it was just, it was really exciting. Kind of like gave me goosebumps. I was like, man, we're onto something here. This is going to be a blast.
Well, if anything, I know some listeners are going to Friday's game and or Sunday's game, and Friday's game is a Lester start. We're going to see a Hamill versus Francisco Liriano start. And then I know Jake's potentially scheduled for Sunday. I'm not sure that. I don't know. I wonder what's going to happen with that, but
I think he'll pitch Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, lucky me. I get to see two Hamill starts in a week.
Lucky you.
Yeah, so I'll have been to 3 games this year. I'll have seen a Hendricks start and 2 Hamill starts.
Beautiful.
Yep. Yep. Hopefully though I get to see some exciting pitching in the playoffs. Let's hope for that.
And plenty of offensive fireworks this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
The part of the home team.
This was my first time sitting in the bleachers since the bleacher renovations, so that was kind of cool to be out there. We sat right next to the right field board, so that was kind of cool out there. I have to give Cubs props for having a vegetarian option in the outfield concession stand. They had a veggie burger. I was very appreciative of that. But yeah, it was a good game. A lot of offense. It was fun to watch. But I think really when you look at this series that they just wrapped up with the Brewers, I think the highlight of the series has to be Jake Arrieta.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, speaking of this season being special, I mean, we're really seeing something special with Arrieta. Wednesday night's start was his fourth complete game of the season, and he's had 3 shutouts, which is just insane. And so that Wednesday night's game was his 20th win of the season. He's the first pitcher to 20 wins this season, in the National League? Is there a 20 win pitcher in the AL?
Not that I know of.
Okay. But anyway, yeah. So the guy is having almost a peerless season, honestly. Tim sent us some stats, and some of these are really striking. You know, for example, one of them is he has the most 6-plus inning scoreless starts in a season by a Cubs pitcher since 1914, from 1914 to the present. He has 9 6-plus inning scoreless starts.
That's crazy.
The most recent was Bill Lee in 1938 with 9, same amount as Arrieta. Best ERA in a 10 start stretch. Arrieta ranks fourth on this list behind Bob Gibson, had a 0.20 ERA in 1968. A couple dead ball pitchers, and then Arrieta with his 0.48 Man. 10 start stretch. And so his 0.48 ERA is the best since ERA became an official stat in both leagues. And he has a 0.086 ERA since the All-Star break, which is the lowest in MLB history. He's had 13 starts in that span. But his numbers so far this season, he has a 1.88 ERA, 220 strikeouts on the season. And so the last Cubs pitcher with a lower ERA and more strikeouts was John Clarkson in 1885. This is comical when you hear stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really amazing that this is the most dominating pitching probably in Cubs history. And it's just really cool that I wouldn't say that it was unexpected. I mean, I think we kind of went into this season like, well, I hope what we saw from Arrieta was real last year. You know, I think we kind of looked at last year and was like, okay, that would be amazing if that's the real Arrieta. Like, we've probably said that several times on this podcast in the off season. And then this season comes along, especially the second half, and it's like, he's even better than last year. He is amazing.
It's unreal. I mean, it's an otherworldly performance, honestly. I keep expecting, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I mean, he has to lose sometime. You know, I keep expecting him to have an off game. And the guy is just on his game all the time. I mean, he just is excellence all the time.
Yeah, and it's really weird because he never looks tired, ever.
Right.
I mean, he just, late in the game, he just looks like he's in total control and always like just the same. He looks the same in the first inning as he does in the ninth, you know, just the way he carries himself and everything. And then another thing that stands out to me in watching him is watch in between pitches, because I've started picking up on how, like, he'll throw a pitch and then they'll show the batter. And the batter is like literally kind of like looking up in the air, confused, like trying to figure out like, whoa, what was that? What, you know, like they just, I've never seen batters look as confused as they do with Arrieta. And maybe it's just that there's other pitchers that can confuse batters, but maybe I just haven't noticed it before. But I especially noticed it in his last outing against the Brewers, how much like batters really did look baffled in between pitches.
Yeah, I mean, the break on some of his pitches truly is mystifying. I mean, the bottom drops out of it very frequently. It just has unreal break across the zone. I mean, it's really unreal stuff, honestly.
I think to go along with that, am I someone that could break down a pitcher's delivery or anything like that, but when you watch him pitch, He has so much routine to what he's doing. Even as soon as he gets catches the ball back from the catcher, he's got, you know, he touches his hat once and then he does something and he touches his hat again. And it's like clockwork what he's doing. And I think that I would guess that, you know, no matter what pitch he's there, he is not tipping off pitches at all. Like, you probably can't tell. And he probably has a way of kind of hiding the spin of the ball, or, you know, the things that the teacher or the teachers, what the heck? I'm in work mode right now. Oh man.
Well, when he gets the ball back from the catcher, he always, I think it looks like he always holds it in circle change grip until he puts it into his glove.
Yeah.
And so that's when he shifts his grip, and he does it in a very surreptitious way, where he's not giving really anything away or tipping anything to the hitters.
Yeah.
And so it's just guesswork up there for the hitters, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, his delivery just looks so consistent, and that's one thing that is really impressive. And man, he is just a workhorse. I mean, that dude is, I mean, obviously he looks like he's in shape, but you can tell, like I said, by the fact that he does not look tired at all late in the game, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, he looks like he could pitch another three or four innings.
Right. He's super fit. I mean, I think Len saw that at one point on one of his complete games, it looked like he could have gone to the 12th if necessary, but he has pitched 216 innings to lead the National League this season. And that is far and away his most innings pitched in a season. The most he's had before was actually last year, his 156.2 innings last year. But really, I mean, the guy looks like he's so fit and, in such great shape that he's able to handle it.
Right.
And, you know, he hasn't had a lot of bricks on his cart, just because of various issues in the past. And so even though he's kind of getting up there in age, he's 29 now, he still looks fresh and like a guy early in his career.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just really impressive. And it's been so much fun to watch this season. And you look at what he's doing here in the, at the end of the season. I mean, not only is he able to go late into ball games, but he's going late into the season. And like you said, he's in uncharted waters as far as the amount of innings that he's pitched. But man, if he can carry this into the playoffs, whew,
do you see any reason why he can't? No,
no, not at all.
He hasn't given any indication that he's even going to have an off game at any point. I mean, the guy looks like an ironclad sure thing every time he's out there.
Yeah, yeah, yep. And man, he means a lot to this team. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I've even, you know, I would have been surprised like a month ago to even think of him as being the possible MVP of this team. But lately I've been seeing a lot of people calling him the MVP of the team, which is kind of crazy. But then also, I mean, it makes sense.
Right, yeah. So in other games, I guess we can talk about some of the other games in this series. I kind of felt like... yesterday's game, Wednesday's game, I kind of felt like it was watching Cubs teams of yesteryear. You know, it feels like historically the Cubs have done a great job of making young pitchers making their debuts look like Cy Young caliber pitchers. You know, they just do. They don't match up well. And I thought maybe we had snapped that tradition after doing pretty well against a lot of good pitchers this year. And especially, you know, the young Mets pitchers and Syndergaard's debut and everything. But I think it's just one of those things where I think all teams struggle with that. And we think that it's just the Cubs. And if I remember correctly, you know, this kid, and man, did he look like a kid?
Yeah, he did. They made so many jokes about that, too. I mean, I think at one point JD said he needed to finish his math homework or something like that. So, and they showed him in the dugout after he was pulled from the game. Yeah, and he looks so young.
Yeah.
But he just had himself a game, and really silenced the Cubs' bats.
Yeah, but I think he came up from Double A, if I remember right. So there probably wasn't much film on him. And it's one of those things where I think the Cubs would probably fare much better against him the next time they face him.
Right. I mean, I think I kind of was thinking of him as sort of like Hendricks when nobody had a book on Hendricks, you know,
right.
where he was really able to hit his spots and nibble around the zone effectively, had a good changeup, stuff like that. And so I felt like he was kind of a third time through the order, get pounded type of guy. And if you'll remember, Dexter Fowler did hit one to the absolute back of the warning track the third time through the order when he first came up. But Davies was pulled shortly after that point. So anyway, I mean, he had a good game, but like you said, I mean, there's once the Cubs are able to see a pitcher like that more, he's not going to have a game like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest thing I take away from this series with the Brewers, though, is that it's really nice to see the Brewers irrelevant again. It just feels like all is right in the world now. The Cubs are back on top, and the Brewers are irrelevant. Well, not on top. Third.
Well, I mean, I don't mind if the Brewers are competitive. In fact, I kind of welcome it. It's like having another regional rival, you know, to kind of heighten the drama of the season, I guess, a little bit. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with them being irrelevant this year.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that stuff with Matt Garza is pretty hilarious. I mean, that dude is such a petulant little kid. It's funny. I mean, he did just have a baby, so it makes sense that he's not with the team. Babies, I guess, twins. But anyway, we don't need to talk about him, but I kind of was amused by what's happened with him.
Yeah. Anything else about this Brewers series that you want to talk about, Andy?
I don't think so. I mean, they acquitted themselves okay, you know, against a team like these teams that have nothing to lose toward the end of the season and are just playing out the string, I think can be pretty dangerous for teams like the Cubs that each game is pretty vital at this point.
Yeah, I think that the Reds could be a pretty dangerous team. I think the Reds are quite a bit better than what their record actually shows. But I don't think the Brewers are very good. So I kind of had more confidence in the Cubs, you know, taking two games at least and potentially sweeping this game or this series. But the Reds are the team that scare me a little bit more. But I mean, really, what it comes down to is once the Cubs have the playoff spot locked up, I don't think the Cubs are going to want to take their foot off the gas pedal, because I think they would love to. I mean, I think whether or not you want to have home field advantage, I think it would have to do something mentally to the Pirates if basically in the last week you could make up a 3.5 game deficit and you know, go ahead of them in the division. I think that would have an effect. I think that would be a good kind of, I don't know, just mental, not a roadblock, but just something to kind of stick in the back of the Pirates' minds in that one game.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that'd be great if they could do that.
Yeah.
I do want to mention about the Brewer series too. Like, I love Tuesday's game, what the offense did. Rizzo got on all five times he came to bat. He had three hits and two walks, which was incredible. Soler's home run.
Yeah.
In that game was awesome. His three-run homer. Great to see that guy's bat back in the lineup.
Well, and you know, being there, especially sitting in the bleachers too, you really did, you know, Bryant had I think he had at least one fly out, maybe two. And you realize how crazy that guy's power is, because he hit, you know, just a routine fly ball. It was in front of the warning track. It wasn't super deep, but it was center field, and that ball went so high. It was nuts. I mean, it's just, that guy's power is just ridiculous. Even on his like flyouts, it's just, he just crushes the baseball.
He pounds the ball. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Well, another thing about that game too is the Cubs were pretty aggressive on the base paths. And that's kind of nice to see this time of the year. Because I think, didn't Rizzo, he was running, he went, I think, from second to home, maybe first to home. I can't remember because I wasn't at the game, so I wasn't able to watch all the replays, and I was distracted with conversations and stuff. But the throw beat him home, but he slid in and was safe because I think the catcher bobbled it, if I remember right. But one thing that kind of stood out in that game, and really it has in the last week or so, is that Rizzo has really slowed down. I think that guy's hurting. Like, I kind of hope that I think if the Cubs aren't going to be able to overtake the Pirates for that home field advantage, I would really like to see Rizzo get a day or two off.
Yeah,
because I think agree. He needs it.
I mean, like I said, 10 games straight here, and then they have two days off before the wild card play-in game. And so, yeah, give the guy a day or two off. I mean, I don't know. It's, you're right. He looks like he's kind of feeling the grind a little bit of the season. And sometimes he's looked to me like he sort of has a burden on it, you know, like the weight of the world on his shoulders a little bit. And so I would like to see him get a day off just to kind of clear his mind.
Yeah. I think if the Cubs, when they get to that last series up in Milwaukee, I think if the Cubs aren't, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, you can only hold so many snow leopards, you know, and pet so many cheetahs. You got to have a day off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that if the Cubs are not within striking distance in that last series, I would like to see them give Rizzo maybe like Friday and Saturday off of that series, and then let him play the last game of the season, you know, have Coughlin play first or something. But, you know, I think if they're within striking distance, I think he's got to play as long as they're within striking distance of, of home field advantage. But
yeah, I agree too. But you're right. Like, if things shake out in a different way than where they can afford to have him sit, do it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we have some listener questions here. This first one is from Steve, and Steve says, my son and I are meeting this weekend to attend two games at Wrigley. He just sent me a message. There is a blood moon lunar eclipse during Sunday's game. Just in case, I'm going to take some garlic, a wooden stake, some salt, anything else you would suggest. So what do you suggest, Andy? You think, would you suggest that Steve eat a goat?
Take a telescope so you can look at and admire the blood moon, the lunar eclipse. I don't know. I know I'm kind of right on the same page with you of getting tired of people bringing up all the curse stuff and talking about omens and all that. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Steve's obviously just kind of being funny here. I don't think he's taking the curse stuff serious.
No ire directed toward you, Steve.
Man, I am so sick of it. Just sick of it already. And you knew it was coming, but it's just like, ugh. And the worst thing, okay, so I tweeted yesterday that there's four things I don't want to hear about the rest of this season and the postseason. That is Back to the Future Part 2, curses, goats, and Bartman. Those are the four things I just don't want to hear anything about. The funny thing is, and everyone pointed this out to me, and obviously I was aware of this, those are the talking points that the national media will have about this team. And it will always be that way until the Cubs win a World Series. But so let the national media, let that be their go-to thing. We Cubs fans, like, we know better than that, you know? And there was that stupid story that WGN had about these guys getting together and eating a 40-pound goat. And it's like,
well, like you said, let the national media do that kind of stuff. We don't need WGN doing it.
We don't need Cubs fans doing it. We don't need Cubs fans eating a freaking goat. You know, like, it's just so stupid. And I opened up my MLB at Bat app today, and that was the first story. I open it up and it goes directly to the Cubs page. And there it is, a story on my at Bat app about them eating this goat.
can I just say, at Mr. Smith goes back, just said WGN, world's goatiest newspaper. I kind of love that. But I mean, to be fair, one of the guys that ate the goat was Takiro Kobayashi, the Japanese hot dog eating champion, who he's eaten like 52 hot dogs in 12 minutes. So I mean, if he wants to eat a goat, go ahead.
Gosh. I mean, these are going to be the talking points for the national media. And really, how many times do you think we're going to see the Bartman video clip during these games? We'll see that clip. How many times will we see the scene from Back to the Future Part 2? How many times will we? It's just, it's going to be ridiculous.
Can I make an admission, Corey? I actually watched the scene from Back to the Future 2 the other day to see if there were any people dressed up that looked like Bartman. I was going to send you a screenshot of it just to irritate you. But rest assured, there aren't any extras that look like Bartman.
Nobody wearing a navy blue crew sweatshirt with a green turtleneck.
It's all like 90s era hypercolor-esque outfits. Right. It's kind of, that's what the future is supposed to be like.
I don't know. Okay. I implore you, IVMV listeners.
Implore of you. No, I implore you.
I implore you, IVMV listeners. Do not embrace this stuff. It's dumb. Curses don't exist. The curse is fans that believe this stuff is real, and it gives power to manifest itself in the moods and hearts and minds of Cubs fans. Yeah, just don't do it. If you go to a playoff game, please, please look at all of the walk-off wins, the come-from-behind wins, the late-inning rallies of this 2015 Cubs. Don't think, oh, here we go again. Oh, it's the curse. Please, please don't.
In fact, log off.
I understand. And I don't want it to seem like I'm coming down on anyone that thinks like, oh, we're cursed, because a lot of crazy things have happened that make people think that this thing could be a curse, but it's not. It's baseball. These are things that happen to other teams. It's just happened to us a little bit more, and it stands out more. And every time, I mean, it's like this. Every other team can go to the playoffs, lose, and, oh, they lost in the playoffs. The Cubs go to the playoffs, lose, and it's a curse. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb. We would be better off without all that garbage.
Right.
But, I mean, on the... I don't know. And on a positive note, it seems like it's not really on the minds of anybody really in the organization. Right. The only time it actually does enter their minds or their thinking is when freaking members of the media bring it up.
Right. Right. And that is a big difference of, I don't know if it was 2000 or 2007 or 2008, but in one of those years, the then Cubs ownership and or front office brought in a priest to bless the dugout to get rid of the curse. Or maybe Kenny did it. Maybe he's still there. Don't let somebody needs to unplug Crane Kenny's phone so he doesn't do this kind of stuff. If he was responsible for it.
But. Well, the Pope's in America. I mean, maybe he could do something.
Okay. I'll take a Pope blessing. I'm okay with that. I don't know. I don't mean to sound too negative, but like this team has been so much fun, and they're
yeah, Mr. Smith says everybody knows the Pope is a Padres fan, and his second favorite team is the Angels.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't need to say this.
And Cardinals too. I didn't even think of that one. Oh man.
All right.
The Pope's favorite teams. All right. What's next on the listener questions?
So this next one comes from Sean from Florida. Says, I know my question is a little late, but when Rondon was tossed after hitting Garcia and Madden came out to argue, one of the Cardinals broadcasters facetiously referred to Madden as the genius. At that moment, I felt that had kind of symbolized how afraid Cardinal Nation is of the Cubs. And I couldn't help but think of the Nazis retreating from the overpowering Allied forces, freeing Europe from their reign, much like the Cubs will be freeing the NL Central from the reign of the Cardinals for years to come. Does anyone else feel this way? And is it possible to compare the Cardinals to the Nazi regime? I mean it in the most respectful way possible. Oh man. There you go. Mr. Smith goes back the Sultan of Swastika.
You broke the podcast on with that one, Sean.
Oh man.
They feel threatened when their only weapon now is snark and acrimony, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that Cardinals fans are frantic right now. And I think we talked about that in the last episode. I think the fact that the Cubs could knock them out of the playoffs, I think that's where all this tension and they don't like that the Cubs are getting attention. But
yeah, I mean, how dare people give teams other than the Cardinals attention?
Yeah.
Get a brain, morons.
But they are frantic right now. And man, that series, if it's the Cubs and the Cardinals and the NLDS, that will be mayhem around here, you know, because I really do live in like 50-50 country. It's like half Cardinals fans, half Cubs fans around here. So.
And there's a surprising number of them even farther north than you, too. I mean,
right.
Cardinals fans. I mean, so it is. Yeah, it's a heated rivalry, and there's a lot of division among coworkers and workplaces and, you know, even families of people that we know.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Another one here from Ben in South Dakota says, first time caller, a long time listener here. I've been listening intently to the Lester versus Arrieta debate over who should pitch the wild card game. And I think I've come up with a winning strategy. If John starts in the wild card and Jacob gets the first game of the NLDS, then the Cubs can use Jingleheimer Schmidt in game two. Just a thought. Oh man.
I have the entire show notes in front of me and I didn't really notice that for some reason. So that was a fresh take.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Ben. That I emailed him back because that literally had me laugh out loud at my desk when I read that. I that was great. So Nick in Wisconsin says, would you say the Cubs record is a product of the teams in their division, or would they be blowing away the competition in other divisions were they not in the Central? So, I mean, obviously the NL Central is a tough division, by far the toughest in baseball. The Cubs have a pretty good record in the division. They're currently 39-28. That's 11 games over 500, in the division. And, so they've handled this division really well. And compare that to the Pirates record in the division. I talked about that earlier. They are 29-38 against the NL Central. That's 9 games under 500. But the Cubs have really played the other divisions well, too. They're 22-12 against the NL East, and they're 19-13 against the NL West.
NL East. Thanks, Mets.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I think they would have a better record if they played the majority of their schedule against other divisions. You know, if they were in another division, they've had to play a lot of games against the Cardinals and the Pirates. You know, two of the two best teams in baseball. And but it feels like I wish I would have looked at it, but I think that the Cubs struggled against at least the Cardinals in the first half of the season. But it feels like they've kind of owned the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I really do feel like if they were playing in a different division, this team against the exact competition that's out there, they would have a few more wins.
Yeah. We got a nice email from Brian, and in it he says, I assume Castro is on the table this offseason. I don't think we will get a pitcher for him. What else do we need?
More shortstops.
That'd be amazing if they traded him for like two shortstop prospects.
Well, there's always a center fielder, possibly. I mean, you have Ian Happ, you know, who's going to be in the minors as a possibility, but that's always something that they might look at.
Well, and there's Almora, technically. But really, you know what? That's a nice thing about this rebuild. I don't see any glaring weaknesses on this team. I mean,
other than pitching, perhaps.
Right. It would be nice. It would be really nice to have a number three right now, a good number three. I was hanging out with Danny Rocket at the social media night. Danny obviously wrote the Ivy Ngioni song that I played a couple episodes ago. But we were hanging out, and he said that he feels like the Cubs have two number ones and three number fives. And that is what it feels like right now. It has for the last month or so. But I see, I like Castro, and I really see no reason that they have to trade him. I don't think they have to trade him. I think they could, and it would be fine, but I don't think they have to. But yeah, pitching depth would be nice.
Yeah. If there's any way they can get arms and trades, I mean, that seems to be pretty prescient.
Yeah. And if they could
pressing,
if they could swipe pitchers that other teams are giving up on, like the Orioles did with Arrieta, that would be even better than parting with.
It was fun to see all the people retweeting when the Orioles tweeted that trade back in 2013. Like, so many people retweeted the details of that trade, including, I think, the Cubs. I think the Cubs, the official Cubs Twitter handle tweeted that, retweeted the Orioles tweet about that trade in 2013.
That's awesome.
On the 20th win night.
That's great. Okay, so here is another question. This one's from Nick in Vancouver, Canada. He says, the Cubs schedule is the Pirates, Royals in one game, Reds, and Brewers. The Pirates play the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Reds. The Cardinals play the Brewers, Pirates, and Braves. Now, I want the Cubs to destroy everyone and win out the rest of the season, but we're not going to be caught by the Giants either way. We could possibly throw the series with the Pirates, Black Sox style, give the Pirates a better chance to catch and pass the Cardinals in the division so that we play the Cardinals in the wild card and the Pirates in the first round, which I think we'd all prefer. Would you prefer we lose three straight to the Pirates and play the Cardinals in St. Louis in the wild card, or win out in hopes to pass the Pirates and play the wild card at Wrigley?
Oh. I guess we've kind of talked about this before, but I feel like I would rather the Cubs play the Cardinals in the play-in game and then play the Pirates in the NLDS.
Yeah, that's what I would prefer. That's what I would have preferred like 2-3 weeks ago. At this point, I just want the Cubs to continue playing well. And I think it's more important to continue playing well and go into the playoffs with some steam than to get matchups the way that might be ideal. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
The Cubs aren't going to blow. They're not going to, throw any series. It's not going to happen. These guys want to win. Obviously that goes without saying, but, right. But I think that if they were to get swept by the Pirates, I think that does way more damage than having to play the Pirates first and then potentially the Cardinals second.
Right. And the play-in game, I mean, I have a lot of confidence in that game, no matter who the Cubs opponent is. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Cubs are a formidable opponent in a one game scenario.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody wants to play the Cubs with Arrieta on the mound and the potent lineup that they can field. I think they're a scary opponent for the Cubs for the Pirates or the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at work today. Is I was saying, which of course the Cardinal fan I work with saw that as like, you know, just blind Cubs fan, I guess, arrogance or whatever. Is
bravado
said,
or something.
Right, I just said, if I'm any other team, I do not want to face the Cubs. I mean, and if I'm in the AL, I don't want to face the Blue Jays. You know, there's just those teams that are so potent offensively, I just don't think you want to face them. And to me, it seems like, I mean, you don't want to face the Dodgers pitching either. But man, when you look at just a young team that's too dumb to lose and as dangerous as this. Yeah, I mean, they're just too young to lose. Shall we put it that way? I don't know. I think that if I'm any other team in the NL, I don't want to play the Cubs.
Right. Now, would you almost rather the Cubs play a team that's more kind of like their pitching has got them into the postseason as opposed to their hitting? I mean, I feel like, you know, given the Cubs pitching situation, that perhaps they match up better against a team that's less of an offensive threat and maybe just better on the pitching side.
Well, I think so too, because the Cubs have shown such an ability to chase starting pitchers early just by driving up the pitch count and everything. So I think even if the Cubs were to face Greinke and Kershaw, I think they could, I think that they would be able to get into the bullpen. So yeah, I would rather see a team that's stronger in pitching, I guess.
Yeah, I think so too.
Especially with Arrieta on the mound. Now, if Kyle Hendricks or Jason Hamill's pitching, then maybe I don't feel that way, but.
Right.
David in Virginia, he says, who had the better 20 win beard, Arrieta or 84 Rick Sutcliffe?
Hard to go against Red Baron.
I know. As a fellow ginger, I think I would have to lean towards Sutcliffe, but Arrieta's beard is really nice.
It is. It's pretty majestic at this point. It kind of looks like some of the other guys are trying to go playoff beard. Like Rizzo has had whiskers, I think, for the last week or so. And it doesn't really look like it's going anywhere.
It's too young of a team. Can you imagine Addison Russell trying to grow a beard? Or I don't know. I think about that Davies that pitched for the Brewers. Could you imagine that dude trying to grow a playoff beard? Andy, do you know what time it is?
It's time for the Ass Hat of the Week.
It has been a long time since we had an asset of the week. We had lots of assets of the week, but very few ass hats of the week. But can I award Paul Sullivan with the Ass Hat of the Week award for that completely idiotic piece that he wrote for the Tribune? Did you read it?
Yes, you may. Yeah, I did. You feel free to award him that prestigious award.
Or can I make WGN the Ass Hats of the Week for running with all this curse stuff this week? Not only did they have that piece on the GOAT, but then they had some, you know, article today, and I saw it on Twitter about curses and hexes and pictures of Bartman and a goat or whatever, you know, whatever it was. I couldn't even stand to look at it.
I did see that the author of that eating the goat piece was WGN Web Desk. So it's not exactly like some like erudite reporter that's, you know, on the, you know, on the case or whatever. It's like the poor intern, the WGN Web Desk. Hey, can you write something about these guys freaking eating a goat? Okay, yeah. It'll help me graduate and get a job. Well, I think there absolutely can be co-assets of the week.
And what was your take on this Paul Sullivan piece? Because I was like, my blood was boiling as I read it. Because, well, first off, I just cannot stand him. And
yeah,
we have a bit of a history with him, and I just really do not like him, and I think everything he does is pathetic, and like it's like that whole the whole purpose of that article was to bring more attention to himself. That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, because it was petty in the first place, and
he's so
the timing
freaking petty.
Of it was made like that much more trivial and petty and. I don't know. And so the worst part of the article for me was when he actually went and picked up freaking Joe Maddon's beer that he was drinking to see how much was left in it.
Yeah, what a weirdo, man.
That is bizarre, dude.
And if you want to talk about how like freaking creepy that dude is, like, did you see on Twitter maybe it was like a week ago that he like took a picture of either Ricketts or Epstein's shoes, or it's like they were wearing like flip-flops or sandals or something, and like took a picture and then tweeted it, and it was just like, man, that guy is so freaking creepy.
He seems starved for attention, petty. It's bizarre. I don't understand it at all. Like, he any opportunity to throw shade on the Cubs he seems to take, which I don't get.
Yeah. Well, and I think that he was kind of able to play like that negative, snarky reporter, guy on Twitter when things were going bad. You know, things were going poorly for the Cubs, and he was just kind of piling on. But now that there's a lot that's going really well with the Cubs, and he's still trying to, he still holds a grudge. I mean, it's clear that he does not like the Cubs, and it's just really, it comes off as real desperate and real, like just it doesn't match the tone that I think like the city has with the Cubs. You know what I mean?
Right. It's discordant. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Like it somehow worked, I guess, in the dark ages, you know, of 2010 to 2013 or whatever. But yeah, you're right. It the way that the Cubs are playing now and the vibe of the city and the lightheartedness that everybody's feeling and the excitement, it just, brings into sharper relief how petty and repugnant it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is definitely, he is officially, he owns the Ass Hat of the Week award. WGN doesn't, they're off the hook for this week. It solely belongs to Paul Sullivan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we ended the episode on a good note. They're freaking out about Paul Sullivan.
Oh, but you know, I mean, let's bring it back to the fact that we're going to see the Cubs on Saturday.
Yes.
We may get to see a clinching game, which is exciting.
I would love to see that. I would love it.
Just looking forward to hanging out with Cubs fans and some listeners after the game. I mean, that day is what's kind of getting me through this week, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. So, this is the last series, regular season series at Wrigley. Hopefully there will be more and several more games at the ballpark. But if you're going up to Wrigley for this Pirates series, get your parking figured out ahead of time by going to ivmv.com and finding your game on the ParkWiz widget on the right side of our website. It's an easy way to get a good price on a parking spot, and you can get it all taken care of ahead of time. Again, go to ivmv.com. And click on the ParkWiz widget on the side of our page. So that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy this podcast and you would like to help us keep producing episodes and continuing to improve everyone's IVMV experience, you can do so through our Patreon campaign. Monthly pledging levels start at just $1 a month. And if you're not able to go to our meetup on Saturday at Guthrie's and you think, man, I'd sure like to buy those guys a beer, here's your chance, but we won't drink your monthly pledge. We're going to stick it right back into the podcast. Go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. If you are listening and you're in the Quad Cities and you're listening to this early Friday morning, I will be on 93.9 FM this morning talking about the Cubs. And I think it usually airs. They record it earlier in the day. I think it airs between 10 and 11 usually. So again, that's 93.9 FM. So we will see some of you at the game and the meetup on Saturday. And otherwise, we'll be back on Sunday to talk about this series with the Pirates. Sunday night's game is a national broadcast, Andy. And I think you remember what happened the last time we recorded during a Sunday night national broadcast with Jake Arrieta on the mound.
Boy, I don't know.
So let's hope for another one of those. So thank you for listening, and until Sunday night, go Cubs!